live from the downtown studio. The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Okay, let's get things going on our Flames Talk postgame show on this Sunday night. How about a 3-for-3 start for the Flames, and how about round one of the Battle of Alberta going decisively Calgary's way? 4 unanswered, 3 points in plus 4 for Rasmus Anderson, and the Flames off to a really good start to the season, and that one had to feel good here in this building, Rogers Place in Edmonton. Flames Talk postgame underway, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Pat Steinberg along with you. Got a large cast to bring you your Flames Talk postgame show tonight. We'll go down to the Flames locker room, get some immediate reaction from this 4-1 victory. Your phone calls at 403-240-4444. Text line open at 960-960, and all kinds of postgame reaction this evening. Steinberg here at Rogers Place with Derek Wills, and hey, 3-for-3 is one thing, and the Flames will take that all day long, but to get that third consecutive win, Derek, and do it over your arch rival Oilers, and to do it in the fashion the Flames did, where they did not back down, they didn't get pushed around at all, and when it's all said and done, they come away with a 4-1 victory.
Very impressive, Pat, and I loved how the Flames played without the puck. I love how they defended the Oilers in this hockey game. And, yeah, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are going to have their opportunities, but I thought the Flames did a really good job neutralizing those two guys for most of the night.
Let's go down to the Flames dressing room, get some immediate reaction from the man of the hour, your number one star tonight from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more information, visit canyonplumbing.com.
Who do we have from the Flames dressing
room? The number one star.
All right. Joining us live from downstairs is Flames defenseman Rasmus Anderson. Rasmus, I've got to start by asking you about that gorgeous goal that you scored to tie this game at one. Do a little play-by-play for us.
Wow, what an introduction I get from you guys here. You know, I kind of felt Connor was on my back the whole time, and then when Hyman kind of missed his hit on me, I knew I had a little bit of time, and Connor was kind of going the wrong way, so kind of flicked it by him and just put it top shelf.
Can you talk a little bit about how you guys were able to neutralize Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl in this game? I mean, they had some opportunities, but I thought you guys did a great job with numbers 97 and 29 tonight.
Yeah, I mean, they're always going to have their looks, right? That's they're that good of a players, but you know, we're playing a system this year that, you know, we're reloading hard, we're staying up, we're being aggressive, and, you know, we're not giving the opponents too much time and space, and it's worked the first three games.
It certainly has. You're off to a great start. 3 points tonight to 5 points in the first three games. You score the game-tying goal, you assist on the game-winning goal, and on the first insurance goal, and the guy who scored that 3-1 goal was Justin Kirkland. It had to be good to see a 28-year-old finally get his first NHL goal.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, right? Like, you know, that's his dream, right? He's been battling for many years to get his opportunity and gets it, and he puts one home. So I'm super happy for him, and I was so excited when I, you know, get to go and get the puck for him, and he deserves it. He's played two really good games, I feel like, since he got into the lineup.
Ross, you guys really put yourselves behind the eight ball last season, winning only two of your first 10 games. You win your first three games this season. How important is that for a team that's trying to prove all the critics wrong?
Yeah, I mean, we've said it from the first day of camp, right? You know, we don't listen to outside noise. We know we have a good team in here, and we have a really good structure. And when we play to the structure, we're going to be a hard team to play against all year.
Well, Rasmus, congratulations on a great game here in Edmonton, on a great start to the 2024-2025 season. And good luck against the Blackhawks on Tuesday.
Thanks, guys. See you on the plane, hey?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see on the plane, Ras. Yeah. Pat, back to you.
Thank you. Rasmus Anderson, I thought it was a good introduction. Rasmus Anderson, your number one star, goal and 3 points. And that's our look from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. It's Pat Steinberg. Let's bring in Matty Rose from our Sportsnet 960 downtown. Midtown Studios.
Did you just get an invite to the card game on the plane there, Pat? What was that?
I don't quite think so, but I think that might have been a shot at me in a little winky fashion.
Hey, Maddie, the marquee matchup in our pregame show brought to you by Country Hills Toyota was, hey, an opportunity in a really interesting battle of Alberta. Didn't start good for the Flames, and you felt like if they didn't rein things back in the early stages of the first period, it could get away on them. Well, they did, and they kept their work boots on all night long. I thought work ethic was the number one thing for the Flames as they were able to win round one of the Battle of Alberta.
Yeah, big time, right? You just kept on fighting, and granted, I thought the legs certainly got a little bit heavy as that game went on. The last seven-ish minutes of that contest were a little bit of a fire drill for the Flames, but they held their own. They got the empty net goal. That weird icing I thought was a little dangerous, but right after that, they get the empty net goal. They bury it, and as a result, they're able to get the win and kind of keep that momentum going for Calgary and keep that bad momentum going for the Oilers, who continue to go back to the drawing board. And they're already frustrated, and today is going to be even more frustrating because they probably feel like the referees were against them. Although, you know, a sober night's sleep, probably look back at all those calls and go, yeah, they were the right calls. So in the end, this is a big one for the Flames. They keep their positive momentum going. They keep going in the right direction. And on the other side of it, you've handed another loss to your divisional rivals.
Yep, pretty solid night for the Flames, and an interesting Battle of Alberta was interesting indeed. That was our marquee matchup tonight, brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck clear-out is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until March 2025. Well, we are hoping Megan Mickelson will be back with us on Tuesday, and whenever she's ready, it'll be the right time for her to return to our Flames radio crew. But one more time, all best wishes to Megan and the entire Mickelson family. It's been a rough week, but want to make sure that we're sending all the Flames radio and Sportsnet 960 good vibes the Mickelson's way. We will throw it over to you, Maddie, as we'll make our way back home from Edmonton. Flames are back in action Tuesday against the Chicago Blackhawks, trying to go four for four to start the season. But Maddie, you and Logo have got the phone lines, the text line, and the rest of the Flames Talk post-game show. I send it to you, my friend, and we'll see you back down in Calgary for Tuesday's game.
Thanks, buddy, and just remember, you're representing the station on the plane, so on your best behavior, please.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. That's Pat Steinberg, our outstanding color analyst today, as well as Derek Wills, the play-by-play voice of your Calgary Flames, as the Flames go up the QE2 following their first home victory of the season, and they hand the Oilers their third straight loss to start the season. Calgary now 3-0 after this 4-1 victory for the Calgary Flames. We have a lot to get to in our Flames Talk post-game show, Logo. We're going to break this one down. We're going to play some Flames audio for you, some post-game audio. We're going to get to the save of the game a little bit later on. And, of course, we're going to take your phone calls and your texts. Right now, get your thoughts in, 960-960. Or you can give us a call, 403-240-4444. We have one open line right now. Probably going to be on hold for a little bit as we do a little bit of housekeeping around here before we do crack open the phone lines. But we're going to try and get there as fast as we possibly can and try and get as many people involved as we can. Big Battle of Alberta, big Thanksgiving win. There's a lot of great energy coming off of this Flames team right now. I think people are enjoying this right now, Logan.
You have to. There's too many people and expectations on this team that were low, and you've three games into the season shattered a lot of those. And yes, there's still 79 games to go and the season's far from decided, but just because we don't know what's going to happen in those next 79 games, Matt, mean you have to be negative about what's happened in the first three. There's been a lot of good things. I think the teams worked their butts off the first three games. They picked up three really big wins. And the biggest thing for me is, if you were going to sell that underdog mentality, that us against the world mentality, it was going to be really hard to do that if you started off slow. Mm-hmm. If the first three games of the season were 1-1-1 or 0-2-1 or something like that, it was going to be hard, right? It's hard to sell people on, hey, we're sneaky good. We haven't shown you that yet.
Believe
us. But we're sneaky good.
Trust me on it.
Right?
That's what the Oilers are doing right now.
Exactly that. Mm-hmm. Maybe. But you know what I mean? If you're going to say, hey, We think we're going to surprise some people. 3-0, you've surprised some people.
They are one of only a handful of undefeated teams remaining in the NHL. Vegas is currently tied with Anaheim 1-1 after 20 minutes of play. The Golden Knights are 2-0 on the season. Tampa Bay's played once. They're undefeated. The Ducks have only played once. They're undefeated as well. But as far as 3-0 teams, you got the Flames, the Stars, the Jets, and the Utah Hockey Club. A couple of surprises there, but also all teams out of the Western Conference.
Interesting.
I'm really enjoying watching Utah hockey,
You've
by
never
the way.
Mentioned it.
Oh, man, so good. Flames goal differential right now is second best in the NHL, +7. We talked about their goaltending in the preseason as well. It's been really solid. Dan Vladar, maybe not the craziest, wildest game for him. Like, I'm pretty sure Devin Cooley's save of the game earlier today for the Wranglers was more impressive than Dan Vladar's toughest save today, but he was really solid and kept them in this game late when the Oilers really started to press.
Even Wednesday, going back to last week, Matty, we said it a couple of times, five's not going to look good on the record, but how many of those did you put on Dan Vladar? And past the first four in the first period, he gave the team every opportunity to win, and I think he did that again tonight. Great scoring opportunity. That leads to the Oilers' first and only goal of the night. And then from there, Dan Vladar was rock solid. There weren't second opportunities. There weren't pucks bouncing around the net. I think he's done a good job of understanding when the play, you just need to kill it, right? Cover the puck up. Let's take a face off. Not worry about running around in the offensive zone against this kind of team. And that's what this team needs. I think if you give them an opportunity most nights, they're going to work for their chances and try to find a way. And I think that's exactly what Dan Vladar did tonight. And I think it's very similar to what Dustin Wolf did on Saturday as well.
Fun game. We're going to have a fun time on the postgame show.
Right.
We got one line open, 403-240-4444. The texts are starting to fly in at 960-960. Get your thoughts in. Logan and I are going to discuss as the evening rolls on. The Calgary Flames take a 4-1 victory up the QE2. They beat the Oilers. They're 3-0. They win the first meeting of Battle of Alberta this season. And on to the next Tuesday when they host the Chicago Blackhawks. Our first break of the postgame show is now. Keep it locked. Sports at 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Oh, welcome back to the postgame show. Flames Talk postgame underway on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Steinberg is on the plane back from Edmonton as he was doing a little color today alongside Derek Wills. So you got myself, Matty Rose, you got him, Logan Gordon, taking you through today's post-game show. We're going to hear from Ryan Huska in mere moments, but a couple of housekeeping items to clean up first. Let's get to our save of the game. This one is brought to you by Shane Holmes. Dan Vladar was between the pipes for the Flames this evening. He ends up stopping 25 of 26 shots that he faced as he had himself a real tidy outing. It wasn't the busiest outing. I thought the Flames did a really good job, especially defending the rush. They maybe had a little bit of zone time that they gave up to Edmonton, but for the most part kept things to the outside. Dan Vladar's save of the game tonight comes in period number one.
The Flames blue line. McDavid as it whacked away smartly by Barry. As it ends up left point on Ekholm's stick. He makes a pass to Skinner and shoots. And Vladar going the wrong way reaches back and grabs the puck with his glove, making a fantastic save.
Dan Vladar was real solid in the first period. He faced 10 Oilers shots. He stopped 9 of them, and one of the ones you just heard there, his save of the game. It's brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes a donation to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. Phone lines are jammed. We've got about 20 texts that we have to get to as well. Your thoughts in a moment, but before we get there, let's hear from the head coach of the Calgary Flames, as Ryan Huska just wrapped up speaking to the media.
See a guy like Kirkland, you know, this through the journey he's had to do something like he did tonight.
Yeah, loved it. I mean, we talked about him a few days back in Calgary, where, you know, you're 28 years old now, and a lot of people would just say, okay, I'm content with where I'm at, but he's, everything he does is about being an NHL player, so I'm really proud of him. He was physical tonight. He did a good job against their top line a number of times, and he scored a huge goal for us, so I'm really, really happy for him.
Storybook, really. I mean,
that's awesome.
Does he score that goal, but also, like you said, up against McDavid's line a lot.
Yep. Yep, they were, and it's because they were, the three of them, they were responsible tonight. They did things the right way every time they were on the ice, so it made it easy for us to keep putting them out there in those situations.
You just get a call from Pringle saying, challenge that goal, and you just go with it?
A lot of times, yeah. Jamie is the best in the league when it comes to that stuff. So initially, you know, he wanted more time to see if more views would come in, because that's the hard part with challenges sometimes. Based on Sportsnet and the feed that we get, sometimes the best picture comes a little bit later, so you try to stall a touch, and then he saw one that he felt that's goalie interference, and Vladdy wasn't able to make the save because of where Perry was and how he kind of impacted his glove and his stick, so he was pretty confident when he radioed in and said challenge it, so good on him. And that's, like I said, he's the best in the business, and that was a huge part of tonight's game.
Because those ones specifically, that's more of a feel at that point a lot of times, right? You know, with the offside, it's a little bit more.
Yeah, offside's pretty cut and dry. I was more concerned about the offside one because it was like I barely looked down and he already had it on the screen to challenge offside. So I asked Cale, is he sure about that? He hasn't really even looked at it. But he was feeling it tonight, you can tell. So, again, he did an awesome job for us here.
Putting in Coronado for Klapka and being the injuries, or you just want fresh legs?
Fresh legs.
Okay.
That was it. Last year we struggled on back-to-back situations, so we're going to change a few things up this year, so we're not, hopefully we don't end up like we did last year. And we did a good job tonight with the energy that those guys brought.
How would you say, you made the Edmonton Oilers the favorite in a lot of people's eyes look quite pedestrian tonight. How did you do that?
I don't know about that. The number one thing for us is we took one minor penalty. In prior years, games against this team, we've taken four or five minors, and you don't give yourself a chance because their power play is too good. So when you play the game the right way and you have discipline with what you're doing, you have an opportunity because we didn't allow them power play time.
That third period, obviously that shift that leads to the go-ahead goal will stand out, but it seemed like after that, those shifts seemed to build one after another.
I kind of felt it was after the first 10 minutes of the first period, our game got better and better. And in the third period, I thought we did a good job of controlling it. Even when they had a little bit of pressure on us late in the third period, I thought we handled it pretty well. So I'm really pleased with this effort from our guys tonight.
That's the head coach, Ryan Huskett, speaking up the road. Have a little chat with the media following a 4-1 win and a 3-0 team that are the Calgary Flames. A lot of surprises. I think a lot of our listeners are a little bit surprised by what we've seen so far, but at the same time, not unhappy with it. So let's get to your phones. Let's get to your texts, because there's a lot of them, and we want to get you all guys, all you people involved. I said, guys, I know we've talked to girls as well, so, you know, the whole nine yards. Let's go to a call. Let's go to the phone. Anand is on the line. I'm probably not pronouncing it.
Anand. I know Anand.
Hi, good evening, Logan. Hi, good evening, Matt.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Anand.
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, we're living the dream. 3-0, and the Oilers lose. Yeah. Great day, and the Bengals are about to win. So, yeah, things are about to get even better.
Yeah, things are definitely better. Yeah, I loved the game tonight. I couldn't watch part of it because I was dinner, but I was listening to Pat Sandberg and Derek Wills, both who did great this evening as well. So kudos to both Pat and Derek. And then fantastic game as well. What did you think of Coronato on the fourth line today?
So I think this is something that we're going to talk a lot today in the post-game show. Yeah. I actually thought that as the game went on, he became more noticeable. Not to say that he didn't have legs, but maybe that line was just not as impactful as they were in the first two games. I didn't think Ryan Lomberg was nearly as impactful as he was in the first couple. You heard Ryan Huska just there. The reason they made that change is they just wanted to get a little bit of fresher legs in there. It makes sense that they wanted to get Coronado into a game here as well. I thought he was fine with his opportunity, but like I've said before, I don't necessarily know if him on the fourth line is the right place for him. But at the same time, where else are you going to put him right now?
Yeah, it's the same for me. I understand why they did it, and I don't necessarily think that's the long-term solution for Matt Coronato. I still don't think he fits that identity of the fourth line as much as an Adam Klapka does, but going back to the last couple preseason games where he wasn't in and the fact he didn't start the season, you know, playing a regular shift, you got to get him playing. He's not going to sit for 2 or 3 weeks. That doesn't make sense either. So I'm with Matt. I think he got a lot better as the night went on. I think he got used to it, but 10 minutes of fourth line time, I still don't think is ideal for Matt Coronato.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree with both of you. Yeah, good point there. And then, congratulations to Justin Kirkland Cosco for his first NHL goal, and then Anthony Mantha for his 300 points. Yeah, overall, great performance. Even I'm surprised too how they've rebounded and the resilience as well. And one final question, just a prediction from both of you. Do you think Dustin Wolf will start on Tuesday against Blackhawks?
They got two games this week on a relatively quiet week for the Flames. They only play Tuesday and Saturday. I expect both goaltenders to get a start this week. As to say who's going to get which, do they decide to go back to kind of back and forth right now? Wouldn't be surprised. Neither goaltender has really cracked under pressure so far. I don't know, Logan, do you feel strongly either way?
Honestly, the only thing that comes to mind is wanting to get Dan a home start.
Yeah, because the game
on Saturday is in Seattle, and so you would have started him in all three road games. So that would be my only lean and is that I'm thinking maybe, as long as Dan's, you know, feeling good, we're early season, but he did have hip surgery a couple months ago, and as long as he's still feeling good, then I could see him getting the home start just because he hasn't had one yet. But that's my only lean. I could see them going both ways.
All right. Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, that sounds like a plan. All right. Thank you so much, Matt and Logan. Thanks for taking my call. And then happy Thanksgiving to both of you. Hope you have a great long weekend. And we'll talk to you on Tuesday or sometime soon.
Very much. Thank you. Appreciate it. And I'm doing my Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Happy Thanksgiving, Anand.
Yes, a very happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much. See you around soon.
See you, buddy.
You bet. Let's continue on the phone lines. James is on the phone lines. Hello, James. Good evening. Happy Thanksgiving. What did you think of tonight's contest, James?
It was good. You know, well-deserved. Congratulations for Kirkland on his first goal, and congratulations to Matha on his 300th. I'm just wondering if, question for you guys, if we keep playing the way we are, have the first three games, you think we get a chance of making the playoffs? I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Thank you, James. Appreciate it. If they keep playing like this, well, they'll be 82-0, they'll probably
really
be in the playoffs.
Good.
Yeah, they'll have a record-setting season. Things have been good so far. You don't want to get too excited, but this team is showing that they actually might have depth throughout their roster. We saw today what happens when you kind of rely on superstars and you can throw a blanket over top of those guys and kind of smother them a little bit. The rest of the roster really doesn't show you a whole lot. So in that sense, sure, like, let's get excited right now. Like I mentioned off the top, there's only 4-3-0 teams in the NHL, and the Flames are one of them, but the other three teams are also all in the West. So if they keep playing this well, they're going to be in a really good position to do some damage at the end of the year. But by do some damage, I mean kind of sneak into the playoffs, and that's kind of, you know, I know the fans are split on what they want there.
Enjoy it. I have no idea what it means. That's the honest truth. They could be 3-3. They could be in a weird spot by the end of the month when it gets busy here at the end of October. It's been good. That's all I can say. I don't know that it means this is a team destined to make noise for a wild card spot or push in the Pacific. I really don't think that three games tells you anything because so much of this is still new to the Calgary Flames. And we don't know what Dustin Wolf and Dan Vladar look like doing this for 2 months, or what the D pairings look like and switching it up for 2 months. It's been a really good start. I don't want to take any of that away. If you're feeling good, keep feeling good.
Let's continue on the phone lines. Kenton is on the line. Hello, Kenton. Good evening. Thank you very much for joining the program today. Kenton, what did you think of tonight's contest?
Mr. Rosie, how are you?
Yo, what's up? Living the dream, man. Thanks for calling in tonight.
Right on. How's Logo doing?
Good, brother.
He's doing really good. He's doing real good.
Right on, dude. Right on. No, sure. Nice to phone in here. It's a nice old fresh old with you two in and running the show. It's nice old fresh outlook.
Yeah, switching it up a little bit. Yeah.
No, it feels awesome. So usually Patsy, you know, it's his show and he does an awesome job, 100%. But sometimes he gets a little bit long-winded. So I like how you guys get the people shuffled through because there's a lot of people that want to talk and it's really good.
Yeah, I don't have the same patience that Pat does.
I know, but you're doing a really good job.
Pat has a lot of patience. He's done this job for a long time. I do not have the same. If you listen to the morning show and me and George sometimes, you know I do not have a whole lot of patience when it comes to things that I don't necessarily think are true or blatantly false.
Oh, you're doing a good job, man. I appreciate that. You get right to the point. So,
Speaking of which, what'd you think of the game tonight?
Oh, I'm really excited. Like, it's a totally new outlook here. I mean, we got young players in there, new guys in the media, and, like, some of these guys, like this Kirkland guy, where the heck did he come from? I didn't even hear about him.
Well, Justin Kirkland was playing in the AHL for the last little while. It's funny. He actually was in the Flames organization back when the Wranglers played in Stockton, but when the Flames moved to Calgary, he signed as a free agent in the Anaheim organization, so he's been playing with Bakersfield and actually playing against a lot of the AHL players for the last couple of years. Or not Bakersfield, excuse me, San Diego. And he's played 10 NHL games. I believe this was his 10th or his 11th NHL game here tonight. He's had 11. A cup of coffee with the Anaheim Ducks, but that's his first NHL goal, and he's 28 years old. He's a relatively high draft pick as well. So
yeah, the real guys that know about Justin Kirkland in this are Ryan Huska and Dan Lambert, who coached Justin back in his WHL days with the Kelowna Rockets back in 2012, 2013. Right, yeah, so both those guys have a long book on this guy.
No, that's good. He's on Fringe. They're a little older, but that's right on.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I'm just going to reiterate on one thing. I love Ryan Huska. You know, I told Patty last year, he doesn't have a doghouse. If a player's not going, he'll have no problem putting him at the end of the bench, but the guy's got a fresh start tomorrow. I absolutely love that.
I think it's really good for the team, especially when you have a group that, granted, they're 3-0, so me saying that they're in like a little bit of a rebuild kind of growing phase is a little bit rich.
Yeah.
But I totally agree with you, right? Like, especially with some of these young players, the previous coach, you know, you'd make one mistake in the first period, 5 minutes into the game, and you'd earn yourself 55 minutes stapled to the end of the bench. So
you go anywhere on that? You're exactly right.
Well, yeah. And look, as great as Daryl Sutter is and always will be, there's something to be said, I think, personally, about guys playing a little bit nervous about making a mistake because they know that hammer is going to drop every time. And I appreciate that Daryl Sutter is one of the greats in this city and one of the greats in the NHL.
Future Hall of Famer.
Absolutely. But I think that works in some instances and doesn't work for other guys. And sometimes that fear of making a mistake can hold you back from being sometimes the better version of yourself. And I wonder if that happened at sometimes that you don't have that with Ryan Huska and this coaching staff necessarily.
Totally. No, that's right on. I'm going here pretty good now. I was off to a slow start, but just one thing before I leave, I love that Kuzmenko. I don't know. Everyone wants to trade him. We're going to trade him. Well, let's give the guy a chance here. Like, I got him penciled in for scoring a lot of goals. So let's give him a runway here and see what we got there.
What would you sign him for?
Well, I don't know. I'd have to think about that for a little while. Is he 30?
See, I think that's the thing, right? People have that conversation about should we keep him, should we trade him, the next question is, okay, well, if you keep him, what's the number? Because this is one of the hardest players to predict in the NHL. He's had stints where he's a 40-goal scorer and he can get you 100 points. He's also had stints where he does end up in the doghouse with other coaches. So hard to predict.
29 on February 4th.
That's right. So anyways, I'll let you guys go, but you're two gents that I'd like to sit down and have a pop or two with and watch a game. I'd have no problem. It'd be awesome.
Hey, appreciate it, Kenton. Thanks very
much. Happy Thanksgiving, man. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe Logo and I'll do a little watch party at a bar someday. Yeah.
Yeah, do that. Like Origins or something there, what they do in Burnburn. But yeah, I'm looking forward to listening to you guys all year. I don't phone in every day. Like, you guys are going to have a blast. We got Harder 8 spawning in. We got Annan. We got the old guy there. The old guy that gets wound up. We got a guy phoning in from Nebraska every night. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's a cool family, man. And call back anytime, Kenton.
Hey, thanks, bud.
Thank you.
Take care, brother. Speaking of the regulars, George, welcome to the program, buddy. What's going on?
The regular.
The regular. I took you out of
good
the lead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Man, it's good to be talking to you guys a second night in a row.
Took you out of the leadoff spot. I hope it didn't hurt your feelings.
Not one bit, my friend. Sometimes I like to be benched, too. You know what I mean? I need that rep.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, listen, you get complacent.
Fresh legs.
You get complacent.
It's fresh legs. Yeah, that's what it is. Just like Husker, we're getting fresh legs.
Yeah, exactly. What did you think of the game tonight, buddy?
I'm ready to go in. I loved it, man. I mean, honestly, like, what's going on right now? If you would have told me we'd be 3-0 and scored a total combined goals of 16 against the Vancouver Canucks, Philadelphia Flyers, and the Edmonton Oilers, I would have called you crazy. But here we are, right? So, look, rebuild or rebuild, retool, whatever R word you want to use for this process we're going through right now, I will always love beating the Oilers. I don't care if we're a Stanley Cup contender or vying for last in the league. It's never a bad day when you beat the Edmonton Oilers.
Can't disagree with you.
You won't find anybody arguing here, George. No. It does taste sweeter.
That listen. Fun third period to watch here in the studio as well. I'll just say that.
Oh, a blast, man. I mean, I'm so happy for Justin Kirkland. That was a great moment, a well earned moment at that. And I've said it all, you know, this is the third night I'm gonna say it, but I'm absolutely loving the newness of everything that's been happening here. Like, through the preseason and even the first three games of the regular season. And you guys said it perfectly, you know, in a month from now, it might not look so good. But the bottom line is, this is what it is. You got to enjoy it for what it is. You know, this is going to be a process for this team. And it's great to see, like, different faces doing different things every game. Mantha, again, has been excellent so far. Like, that's a win-win situation again. You bring the guy in for 1 year at $3.5 million, and if he plays this well and you're not doing good by the trade deadline, I mean, you can get a really good asset for him, you know? And if he does play well and you're doing well and you decide, hey, maybe this is a big reason why Huberdeau's been quote-unquote unlocked, and you sign him and he agrees to stay, like, it's a win-win situation, you know? And it's been quite the surprise, that whole line, actually. Posseboso, Huberdeau, and Mantha. Posseboso center's worked out a lot better so far than I thought.
I mean, in my opinion, George, much of what the coaching staff, has done to start the season, I think almost all of it's worked. Like, out of the forward lines, everybody seemed to have a moment or a night that's been memorable. The Mantha, Gordie Howe hat trick, everybody was contributing. Huberdeau doing that on Saturday with the big night. I thought Pospisil was popping tonight as well. I mean, really, I don't think a lot of things have gone wrong. They changed some things up tonight, and I'm sure we'll talk about that at some point, but pretty much everything's gone right for the Flames right now.
Yeah, it has, and let's see where it goes from here, right? Final question I actually do have a question for you, gentlemen. I'll let you go. What have you guys thought of Sam Hanzik through three games so far?
I have liked him. I don't think he's been a detriment, but I do think that he hasn't been nearly as impactful as he was during the regular season. And a lot of that is that
preseason?
They've... Yes, pardon me. A lot of that is the fact that, frankly, like we talked about on yesterday's post-game show, like, he had some great hop out of the gate in Vancouver. Like, literally, his first few shifts, he was outstanding. And then you have the big hit on Kevin Rooney, and the tone of the game kind of changes. The temperature goes up a whole lot, and I thought he might have faded in that one. Yesterday, he makes a bad play on the wall. He takes an early high sticking penalty, but as the game went on, I thought he was more and more impactful, getting to the net and things like that. Today, simple plays, pucks in deep, make sure you're getting the puck out of your own end. Just try and kind of support Kadri and Kuzmenko the best way that you can. I know they haven't necessarily been scoring at 5-on-5 a ton, but I don't think that he's been a problem, needless to say. So I know he hasn't hit that first point. He had a decent opportunity today that Skinner stopped him on really early on in the game, but I don't have any complaints, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's kind of the same as when we got asked about this last night, Georgie, and the fact that I don't think he's looked out of place. That's something for a guy that's turning 20 this year and is playing with two legit NHLers. It's I think they are insulating him, right? I mean, he's 11-24 tonight with zero special teams time, power play or penalty kill, so he's only getting out there in five-on-five situations, and two of these games have been on the road where the other team dictates the matchup, right? You're always going to look at a young winger as a guy to try to exploit, and Kuzmenko, we know as well, isn't the fleetest of foot defensively at times, so I think you've seen a lot of offensive zone starts. I think Huska's been filling them with that. But for the most part, yeah, I'm with Matty. I don't think you have anything to talk about when a Calder Trophy consideration to start the year, but I also don't think he's hurt his spot in the lineup.
Right on, boys. Hey, pleasure talking to you guys two nights in a row. You guys did an excellent job covering for Pat. Pat did an excellent job covering for Megan Mickelson. I wish her the very best. I hope everything is well with her. And it was great, my boys. You guys have a good night.
Thank you, George.
Appreciate it, Georgie. Take care. We got one more caller, then we'll read some texts and hit our first break. We got Roger down the phone line as we continue on the Flames Talk post-game show. Good evening, Roger. How do we find you, sir? Roger. Oh, Raj? Oh.
Hey, how's it going?
Raj, what? Where were you? What was going on there?
Well, I'm sorry. I've been waiting to get on. I'm a 32 year Flames fan.
Uh huh.
So I followed them from first game, which was Quebec 3, Calgary 3.
Uh huh.
I think it was October 8th, 1980. But I could be wrong.
Right on. What'd you think of the game tonight?
Oh, my God. I'm so happy with them.
Oh, yeah? Why is that?
I predict the first Pacific. We're first Pacific.
Oh, really?
I predicted it. Oh, yeah. I predicted it before the Vancouver game.
Really?
Yeah. On Facebook, yeah.
Why is that?
First Pacific. Oh, the positive attitude. I mean, you got Conroy. Are you kidding me? Craig Conroy?
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys ever seen the guy play?
I did see him play.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah, he sure did.
I'm just going to ask you.
Yeah, he was the best.
I saw him play, okay?
Yeah, and?
I saw him play. We got him from St. Louis.
Yep.
Okay?
The first time.
The best. I'll just tell you. Can I tell you a little story? Is it okay?
Depends.
Tell us the story.
What's the story about? Is it going to get anybody in trouble?
No, it's a true story.
Okay. Well, I'll be the judge about that. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. We won't talk about Bobby Orr, my favorite player.
Okay.
He's the best there.
Did you see Bobby Orr play?
Craig. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Bobby Orr was the best. He's the only one that ever got, he got plus 60, maybe a bit more than that.
Okay.
I would say plus 68.
Okay, but tell me about Conroy's game, Roger. Roger, I need you to dial it in here.
Okay, I'm talking about Conroy. Sorry. I'm so happy we have Conroy and Aginla.
Why?
And once we have Conroy and Aginla in charge, we're going to win. You know why? You know why?
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 You play a little secret. I know I played 6 championship teams in hockey. I did.
Yeah.
I did. I was captain. I wasn't the best player. I was third in scoring.
At what level?
I pitched in, you know?
Okay.
And I know.
You're a locker room guy, Roger.
Conroy is the best defensive forward in the NHL. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then Calgary asked him, can you please score some goals? And he went out. He was, I think he was first in scoring, actually, in 2004. Maybe he was second in scoring. But, you know what I mean? You ask him, oh, you're the best defensive forward in the NHL. Mm. He won the Selke Trophy.
Yeah, he sure
did.
He's
the best forward.
Well, I don't think he actually won it, but.
Forward in the NHL. And you ask him if he can score a couple goals. And he went out and he led the Flames in scoring. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe he was not led them, but, like, second or third, but he picked him out, you know what I mean? And that's his in charge.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So we're going to win now, right? Mm-hmm. We got Craig Conroy.
Yeah.
Right? And we got Jerome Aginla.
Yes.
One of the best power forwards, not the best power forward that ever lived, okay? but probably in the top five that ever lived.
Roger, can I interrupt you? Roger.
That's what we got.
Roger.
That's what we got.
Roger.
Team.
Roger.
So are we going to win? Yeah.
Roger, dial this in.
Roger, listen to me.
Focus.
Roger, listen to me.
Look me in the eyes.
Do you remember the Jerome Iginla dancing emoji on the Jumbotron?
I don't. Oh. I don't.
That's too bad.
I'm sorry. Right. I mean, I watched him score probably 403 goals. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe
like
303 goals. I don't know. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yep. Hey,
but,
Raj.
I know. We got winners in the dressing room.
Okay.
We got, and you know what? Huberto? Holy crap.
Yeah, pretty good.
Better, right? Oh, my God.
Yeah, wow.
Wake him up. Oh, my God. Zeri.
So much fun.
You got Zeri. You got Hanzak.
Yeah, those are all the players.
Those are the team for
first,
sure, Raj.
I'm voting first. I'm voting first. Okay. That's all
Okay. Roger. 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 Quiet. Okay. That's enough. He was so close.
Oh, Raj.
He was so close. Boy, do I hope we had the delay on there. Ah, man. He was cooking, though.
Was he?
I was trying to interrupt him so I could tell him to mix in a water before we had to hang up on him. Because I think it was important that he has a little bit of extra electrolytes before he hits the hay.
Maddie, I can guarantee you he is cooking something. And it was not that call. It was something in his basement.
It's funny because someone said, hey, you let the callers go on. Or you don't let the callers go on. And I appreciate that. But I kind of wanted to let Raj cook there.
Boy, Dale is going to be pissed you didn't let him go on, but you let Raj.
Those are different.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome back to the postgame show. Flames Talk postgame. I'm Matt Rose. He's Logan Gordon. Final segment of today. We got a whole bunch of texts we still want to get to. We got a whole bunch of open phone lines. Only Marcus is on the phone line right now, so we'll get to Marcus in just a moment. Mixed reaction to Roger being on the phone line. Some people liked it. Some people didn't. That's fine. Maybe went on a little bit too long. Mea culpa. Did want to get to a little bit of player audio as well. We have a whole bunch of guys that spoke to the media today. The netminder, Dan Vladar, spoke. Justin Kirkland spoke as well. What else do we have here? And Anthony Mantha. Let's start out with the guy who scored his first goal of his NHL career today, Justin Kirkland. A little bit of a hero. Crashed the net, get a rebound, pop it home. Spoke to the media after the game.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
How did that feel?
Almost like the weight of the world off my shoulders. It means the world, especially on a night like this in the Battle of Alberta. You know, friends and family all over watching. It's special. Couldn't have drawn it up any better.
Anybody in the building, like friends or family?
Yeah, I had a bunch of buddies in the stands tonight. Families all glued to their TVs, so everyone must have got a good look at it.
How about then just the magnitude of the goal, too, and obviously the fact that you guys were pushing in the third, but to have it in that spot?
Yeah, I guess, you know, it was an important goal. We were clawing as hard as we could, trying to be relentless. It's a big credit to my line mates, too, the D that were on the ice. It was kind of a working shift, and I thought we played pretty solid all night, and it was nice to get rewarded with a goal.
What does it mean, the weight of the world? You just wanted that first one so badly, or?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the first one, I want to be up in the NHL. I'm living out my childhood dream right now, so it's extra special. This is where I want to be, so it's great.
You talked about taking advantage of the opportunity just a couple of days ago, now two games in. Has it felt like that? From the outside looking in, obviously it looks that way, but...
Yeah, it's you take it day by day. I try to do what I can every single day, gain the coach's trust. Trying to be good on faceoffs, trying to be responsible. And like I said, I think our line both games have done a good job. We've kind of grinded them down, played hard and played the right way. So like I said, we got rewarded tonight.
You have many of those pinch me moments. You faced off against McDavid a lot tonight.
Yeah, that's cool. It's obviously, you know, you. He's the best player in the world. We all know that. But it's a little extra motivation, too. I want to go out there and prove myself against him. So, it's like I said, it's special. This is a fantastic night.
just obviously to be trusted too in the third period. I know some late shifts, when the game's still on the line too, just about, you know, earning that trust. That must go a long way with the coach too.
Yeah, I hope so. It's like I said, it's our line. We worked hard. We played the game the right way tonight and kept moving the puck north, kept it simple and played hard down low in the offensive zone. And, to come out of it with a win is even more special. So it'll be nice to have a happy plane ride home tonight.
Oh, I bet. Look out for Pat Steinberg on that plane, too.
That's what I was just thinking.
Man, that guy. Just enjoying his life right now. Flying back and forth. Love to see it. We have a couple more calls to get to. There's two callers right now, three open lines. We're going to do last call for phone calls, so call in the next, 60 seconds or else we're not going to get you on the show. That's the deal. That's what we're working with here tonight. So, last call, everybody.
Matt makes the rules tonight. And?
And?
Oh, I should have ended it there. You're enforcing the rules. Good for you.
Yeah.
You are the sheriff.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right, let's get to the phones. We've got two more callers. Marcus is on the line. Hello, good evening. What's up, Marcus? Happy Thanksgiving, brother.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. I hope we get through this, but it's worth a shot. I used to call back in the day with Rob, and I was running around my street. 8 years old, in 89 with my jersey on, and just fluttering a minute. I didn't know, I was young, I was in the hockey family, we couldn't afford it and all kind of stuff, but it didn't matter. The C was what mattered. 46 now, and just, I PVR'd the opener because we're at my family's for Thanksgiving, and I wanted to focus on that, and that's what I think Johnny Pryor thought was a good problem, plan too. PBR'd it and had a doubleheader today, so the opener and the game tonight. And
nice.
I just don't know what to say. I'm just so proud of the city. I'm so proud of the Cell Dome and after the Flyer loss and PBR and stuff. But the tribute was just something else. Iggy was always my guy. But Johnny sure got in that hard and was so frustrated he left. And just and to see the family, I think up there he saw it and he felt it. And that noise, he felt everything. I had to try. But
you're good, Margaret, man.
We've been blessed with so many players. We've been blessed with so many beautiful players.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful city. Let's celebrate it more. Get out, support your Stems, support your Flames. Johnny and his family, is so beautiful for them to even do that. Like, mm-hmm. to see Guy just sitting there, like, Woody's just, it was something else. So it's been a day. So just, hold your family tight and... Let's always remember Johnny and 13 should be in your heart the rest of your days as a Flames fan. And go Flames go, and what a beautiful win tonight. And let's scare people this year. Let's screw with them a bit. You know what I mean? Like, we're supposed to just suck. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's take Johnny's energy and let's go.
I love the call, Marcus.
Thank you
for calling in, brother. Very well said.
Thanks.
Yeah, have a great night, man. Have a real good night, all right?
Too.
Yeah, great job, man. Yeah, cheers. Go Flames, brother. The home opener was tough. That was a really beautiful moment.
Yeah.
And really, granted, the first period of that first game did not go well.
No,
Flames have played some really good hockey and some very inspired hockey, I would say, this year. I don't know about higher powers and all that type of thing. But so far, so good following, obviously a heartbreaking tragedy in the offseason, but getting back to it. So really do appreciate the call from Marcus today after he had watched the home opener before the Flames and the Oilers game. The Flames win that one by a 4-1 score. Let's continue on the phone lines. A couple more calls we got time for. Logan is on the phone lines. That's Logan Gordon across from me. I'm Matt Rose, and we also have Logan down the phone line.
I'm Logan.
What's up, Logan? Other Logan?
How's it going? Ends up making it to the game tonight.
Oh!
Great to be there. thought the boys played well. Bedard, he had another strong game. I think it's going to be interesting between the pipes how they're going to split it up, because I feel like you sort of have to ride with the guy who has the hot hand. I mean, Wolf also had a great game the other night too, so curious to see how that goes down the line. And one thing I have to say, and it might be, just as the season goes on, I feel like the Flames' depth that we have on this team is going to be really tough for other teams to stop. We have almost three. It's not like they have a first, second, or third line. I feel like those top three lines are just so even, and it might be something that can somehow make them have a bit of a playoff push. I don't know how that's going to go. It's three games in, but curious to see how the rest of the season is going to go here.
Yeah, the goalie front's interesting. I think the real conversation's going to start next week when they've got three games at home, Pittsburgh, Carolina, Winnipeg, game day off. I said earlier on the program, I think I'm leaning towards Dan Vladar to get a home start on Tuesday since he hasn't had one yet, but I don't know how they're going to go. I think next week's going to give us a better indication of how this team wants to go. And you make a good point about the lines, man. We know that the Lomberg line is the fourth line, but how would you number the other three? I don't really know. I think you'd get a ton of different answers if you did that, Matty. And I know they're deployed differently and in different situations at times, but I don't know that they have a first, second, third line. It kind of depends on the night.
To me, you got the Backlund line skated 20 and a half minutes today, or Backlund skated 20 and a half. He had the Connor McDavid assignment, so that's not shocking. Huberdeau's up at 17 and a half, so... Listen, Ryan Huska is going to play a hot hand. That's one of the things that he can kind of do when you have depth throughout this roster. I agree. They don't have a McDavid or a Draisaitl on the roster per se, but they've got three really sturdy lines that I think you feel pretty comfortable with them really in either end of the ice, offensive or defensive.
Oh, exactly. I have to say, one of the question marks that have come into the season was their defense. I feel like they've been fairly solid to start us out. I didn't love Tyson Barrie's game tonight, but we'll see if he can improve. I felt like he had a little bit of some struggles. It wasn't super dynamic, but I don't have too much more to say. I'm happy 3-0. Oilers are 0-3. So it's a good way to start the season.
It sure is, man. Have a great Thanksgiving weekend, Logan. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, you as well. Have a good one, guys.
Couple of texts here really quick before we get to our two final calls of the night. Dave on the East Coast, thrilled to watch the Flames beat the Oil tonight to go to 3-0. My personal highlight of the night was this exchange. Matt, let's read some texts. Logo, they're all about Roger. Yes, they were a lot about Roger. Yes, people seem to enjoy it, though. He called back during the break, too, believe it or not. Had a nice chat with Logan as well over the break there.
No, you talked to him.
Yeah, I did. It was not easy to figure out. This team is given similar vibes to the 14-15 Flames. Really enjoyable to watch. Clearly great chemistry. Extremely skeptical of the decision to play Pospisil down the middle, but that looks to be a master stroke from Huska. His speed and direct playing style is getting the most out of Huberdeau. His team clearly has a lot of pride and character. They aren't going to roll over for a top five draft pick. Proud of these boys so far. Go Flames.
What did you think of Tyson Barrie tonight, by the way?
I didn't necessarily feel like he had a positive or a negative impact on the game. I thought Braden Paul threw a couple of heavy hits, but honestly, I didn't really notice Tyson Barrie a whole lot. He was out there with the second power play unit. That's it, kind of. I don't expect much more from him. He's playing on the third pair.
He's also
he had trouble getting in the lineup.
I still don't.
Well, I don't love it, but at the same time, what are your other options?
No, I get it. I'm just saying, I think he's going to be even less effective. He's not good defensively on the right side. Now he's playing the left side for the first time since junior.
Well, the thing about the left side
reduces his effectiveness.
Between him and Pahal, he has way better puck skills. So the idea there is in the offensive zone, he has a better opportunity to kind of pull pucks off of the wall and manage the backhand. Which, you know, that can be tough sometimes. The defensive stuff, I agree with you. It's not great, but I didn't think he was an issue tonight.
No, I don't either. Going forward, I don't know.
Well, and listen, I think that could be a just get fresh legs type of thing in there as well, right?
Huska talked about that in the back-to-backs, having extra guys and wanting to get fresh legs.
Here on
a big
PTO,
thing, so.
He signed here. Let's get him in a game. I wouldn't be shocked if they go back to Jake Bean, who I think has, in the Flames' eyes, more upside being a younger player who has had a lot of injuries early on in his career. This one says, that's the secret. There's not just one line. You got to focus on all lines. They can all go. The best thing about Huberto and Kadri was that the best thing about tonight, Huberto and Kadri had no points. Maybe we aren't in a rebuild. The rest of the team was the ones doing the scoring. Impressive stuff. Two more calls. We're wrapping up tonight's show. Norm, what's going on tonight? Norm, thanks for calling into the Flames Talk post-game show. Norm, what's up?
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
Living the dream, buddy.
Good, man. Good. I'm calling from Camrose.
Love it. Kodiak country.
You betcha, man. I was actually a trainer with the Kodiaks for 10 years, 12 years.
Yeah, I remember doing that bus ride when I was doing color with the Okotoks Oilers. That was the farthest I ever traveled doing color for the AJHL Oilers, and that was not a drive I loved, I'll tell you that much, trying to drive back on a Friday night while all my buddies are at the bar, and oof, no good.
Yeah, you got to do Fort McMurray or Grand Prairie.
Yeah, no, not a chance, Norm. Not a chance, brother. What do you think of the game tonight?
Hey, I thought it was a great game. The Flames, you guys, are showing that they're a full hockey team. They don't need superstars. Jonathan Huberto is probably our up-and-comer, I think. Shout-out to Craig Conroy for giving him some time to find his feet. A couple of shout-outs, actually, to Ryan Huska and his unbelievable replay guys.
The video coach, Jamie Pringle.
They did a fantastic job tonight. Like I said, I've been a Flames fan for, oh God, I have the 80, I have the rat, or the, I have the, what's it called? The King and His Crew poster in my, in my garage.
Wow.
With Gary Roberts and, all them old fellas. One more thing I wanted just to say, I really honestly believe that the Flames have always been a total hockey team. They don't need a superstar. Yeah. They need work from every line. And I think that's what they're getting right now. And hopefully they can carry it on. I was glad to see that they didn't deal Uyghur and Anderson away with the rest of their defensemen. Because that's a good core D group there.
Yeah, it's been good, Norm. I said it's been good. Like, the one thing I would say is, like, on Jonathan Huberto, an up-and-comer is kind of wild. This is a guy who finished second in MVP voting just a couple of years ago, but I understand the kind of point that you're getting at there. And the other thing on Conroy there, he didn't really have an opportunity or another option on Jonathan Huberto. The only thing that he could do is kind of wait around for him to find his game.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, and I guess patience is the virtue there. But the other thing I wanted to say is to the Flames organization, a fantastic tribute to Johnny Gaudreau. Absolutely loved it. And to Megan Mickelson, please share my good thoughts for you. And by the way, Roger was fantastic.
I think Roger was feeling fantastic.
I might have let Roger go on a little bit too long. I got to let him get a little too comfortable.
Yeah. You guys might have had him on hold for maybe a little bit too long. Too.
Well, full disclosure, I was told by our outstanding op, Zom, that Roger might have had a few. And honestly, I didn't think he was going to be that imbibed. And then I was having fun with him. And then it just kind of went on for a little bit too long. But it is what it is. Happy Thanksgiving. He Thanksgivered a little too hard.
One more little side note, boys. Derek Wills, the announcer?
Yep.
How come he can't say 960 the fan anymore? Because he says it the best. Like, he used to always say, you're listening to Calgary Flames broadcast on 960 the fan. Now he doesn't say the fan anymore. And he used to say that so good.
I think he changed it to the Sportsnet app. Is his out now? I don't know. I can't tell you why or anything. It's just
I have no idea.
It's a broadcaster secret, Norm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, I miss it. So
we'll let him know. Appreciate the call today, Norm. Man. Have a great night. Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Thanks, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Appreciate it.
And my firm memories of Camrose, Alberta, are having zero memories of a couple stints at Big Valley Jamboree.
Oh.
That's about as far as
is that where Cameroon is. That what is that where it is?
Close enough.
I thought it was west.
Everything's west of something.
Wow, what a great point by you. Let's go to Tegan, our final call of the night. Tegan, good evening. Tegan, am I pronouncing it right?
You betcha. Mr. Rosie, how are you doing?
Good, brother. What's going on?
It's K-Dog, K-Man here from Drumheller. Tegan's actually my daughter. It's Kenton.
Okay, K-Dog from Drumheller. Appreciate you calling in, man. The land of the dinosaurs. What's up?
Land
of the dragons. Sorry. If I gave love to Camrose and the Kodiaks, it's got to be the dragons. Yeah, okay.
So your last caller, was that actually Norm from Canmore? I think it
Camrose.
Was.
Camrose.
Canmore. Yeah, well, you guys are too young, you two young fellows there, but there used to be a Norm from Canmore, Red Green Show.
Oh. Yeah. So put duct tape on it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt, eh?
If they don't find you handy, at least they'll find you handsome.
Do you know that one?
No, wait. I got that backwards.
Nope.
If they don't find you handsome.
So close.
I definitely used to watch it. I swear to God.
So close.
Anyways, the reason why I had to phone back into is because I had a lot of fun talking to you guys, and I realized you probably won't be on again till like the new year, but I'm going to be listening to your shows. So are your shows interactive as well, or just you can't phone in?
My show, the morning show, Big Show with Russick and Rose, we typically do take calls. What we'll do is, you know, we do our normal show. The 6 o'clock hour, we have a typical open. Then it's 6:30. I do the morning report, which is a breakdown of all the things that happened in sports the night before and everything the night coming up. Then from 7 to 9, we'll do a whole bunch of different type of interactive type of stuff. We'll also do interviews, but we always like to have like a text question or a call-in question, and people can always interact with our show there. So yeah, we do on the morning show. I don't know how much Logan does in the afternoon. Per se, I know you get the text line going.
Yeah, we fire up the text line all the time. Feel free to shoot us a text. Keep your name in there. We got a contact book so we know who the regulars are. We haven't cracked open the phone lines yet on Old Sportsnet today, but gosh, never say never.
No, it's really nice. Like, my daughter and I were just sitting here, and she's like a fifth generation on this firm to watch hockey, and it was kind of cool. Like, it's nice to listen to all the people phone in. Yeah, maybe real Roger in there. Like, he got a little bit too much of a platform.
Yeah.
You're damn right he did.
That's fair criticism. That is very fair criticism. But hey, if that's my one mistake tonight, it feels like some people enjoyed it. So I'm gonna let that one slide.
Too much of a platform.
Yeah, too much of a...
Sure made a couple of people laugh anyways. But you guys have a great night, okay?
Thanks Tegan. Man. Go Dragons. Thanks, Kenton. Appreciate it. Wait, did he call back in? So he called earlier?
Yeah, he was trying to explain that to you, that Tegan was his daughter's name.
But we already talked to a Kenton, and that was the same guy.
It was the same Kenton. So I think he used his daughter's name to get back on the line.
If you listen to the Big Show with Russick and Rose, you will realize that my memory is not that good.
He did try to explain it at the beginning of the
call. Yeah, I was trying to keep up. Sure,
okay,
I was also making
Is it Tegan or Tegan? And he's like, it's Kenton. Tegan's my daughter's name.
And I said...
And you were like, all right, Tegan, what did you think of the game?
The kid is dialed in.
This has been a lot of fun.
This has been a ton of fun. I really enjoyed this. Obviously, we wish the best to Megan Mickelson and hope that she'll be back for Tuesday's game. We know she's going to be with us sooner rather than later. And wishing all the best to her and her family. But, Logo, this has been a ton of fun the last two nights.
Brother, you know I always enjoy a chance to be on the air with you. It's been a blast. This is a unique opportunity. This is Pat's domain, but it's been nice to sneak in for a couple of nights. And on Thanksgiving weekend, nonetheless, spend some time with you. And, yeah, just whenever Megan Mickelson is ready will be the right time. And until then... we got her back and hoping nothing but the best for them. And this was an absolute pleasure, my man.
It was a treat. I will say, a little bit of a tease for you. Might be a game against the Predators in November that we're doing this again.
Really?
Maybe.
That's news to me.
Just sneaking that in.
I have a very busy schedule, you know.
I don't believe you.
That's fair.
For a damn second.
No, that's fair.
You want to say goodbye to everybody?
Bye, everybody.
All right. Bye, everybody. We've had a ton of fun. For Logan Gordon, for Azam Ali Nanji, for Pat Steinberg, for Derek Wills, thank you so much for listening. This has been the Flames Talk Post Game Show. Have yourself a great evening, everybody. A very happy Thanksgiving. No morning show tomorrow, but we do have Hitman Hockey noon pregame. I'll be hosting the pregame. Sixth game of the weekend for the kid. How about that? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Diving into hockey, just right into the veins, baby. Puck drop will be at 1 o'clock as they take on the Prince George Cougars. Enjoy your night, everybody. This has been the Flames Talk Post Game Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.